You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We are speaking this morning with Christopher Miglino. He is the CEO and founder of Schrack's in Los Angeles. Welcome, Christopher. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing in Los Angeles these days.
Schrack's is in the business of building data sets around specific data verticals. Mm-hmm. So we're really, you know, not just focused on social, but we're focused around helping companies take data that maybe they don't even understand that they have, and then turning that into actionable items with customers through marketing initiatives and advertising initiatives. Mm-hmm. So any company that is out there that has an existing list of customers that have bought their product in the past, we can help those people reach those customers again, reach people like them. We're really good at extrapolating information about people, about companies, customers, and then finding more people like those people and identifying where there might be opportunity for people to market to where they may not have been thinking about before. Mm-hmm. So that's really where we excel. We have a few different areas where we do that. We mm-hmm. do that through a product that we have called Schrack's, S-R-A-X, which is also the public symbol for the company on NASDAQ is S-R-A-X as well. But all of our products are named Schrack's. So we're within Schrack's, we have a few different verticals. We have a shopper vertical, which is focused on helping companies that are selling consumer packaged good products into the market, mm-hmm. helping them identify shoppers. And once we identify who's buying their product, helping them find more people that'll buy those products, and then tracking whether that consumer saw an ad on the internet and then went into a store and bought the product. So doing what's called online to offline attribution. And then we have a vertical around automotive, where we've created a number of tools that are valuable for automotive manufacturers and dealers that help them market to car marketers. And then we have our core business, which is everything that falls outside of that, which is any company that, you know, has customers and data around those customers. We can help them reach those people. Then we have a product called Schrack Social, which is a platform that anybody can use for free to manage all of their social activities. They can use it to schedule, post, manage all of their social activities. And then we've built a bunch of really innovative media buying applications inside that tool so that we can help you be more effective in your media buying initiatives. So as a marketer, you're constantly marketing out to your customers on social, but the challenge that a lot of companies have is that they don't have somebody that's sitting there all the time watching those social activities and being reactive to it. So we've created a artificial intelligence tool that does that automatically, like having a person there in your company doing it for you. And then the latest thing that we've launched, which is the thing that we're most excited about, is a product called Big Token. It stands for Blockchain Identification Graph. It's a tool that allows consumers to get compensated for their own data. So we're experts at buying data, so we know what we're buying from the Experience, the Axioms, the Oracles of the world, and we know what they charge for that data, but the consumers never see their fair share of that data. So we created a platform that is allowing consumers to opt in their information to our platform, and they get compensated for that data.
All right, so now we use Buffer. How are you different from Buffer to distribute social?
So it's very similar to Buffer, except built into the platform, you can set a number of criteria. So you can say, hey, if I get 100 likes on this post, I want you to spend a little bit of money on it to get me more likes. So if I hit 100 likes, please spend $100 over the next 3 days to amplify that to get out to the public. Or if I get 10 comments, or I get 2 shares, or, you know, if I get 10 likes. so you can amplify the things that are actually getting attention. Because you know, as a marketer yourself, that if you don't spend money on social, nobody sees this stuff. You know, Facebook and Twitter, they've locked it down so hard that if you don't spend money as a company to promote your product, the algorithms just block it out and nobody sees it. So you have to be able to spend a little bit of money, but to help it go viral. And our tools help determine when you should spend that money and how much you should spend along the way.
So this would be like boosting a post when you get a certain threshold.
Yeah, we call it auto boost. Uh-huh. It's built into the platform and you set your criteria. You say, you know, these are 100 rules and different audiences that I'm willing to go after. And it automatically goes out and executes that for you without you having to pay attention to it every day.
And so now can you do this on LinkedIn as well?
Yes, it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter.
All right. So essentially it's the same mechanism as Buffer. But you also have the option of having the automatic boost.
Correct. And we're a media centric company. So our focus is all around the media side of the business. So we give away the tools for free, for all of the posting and the managing and all of that. But we make money off the application through people using the auto boost features in the application.
So you would get a premium on the charge for the auto boost?
Correct. We take 10% more than you would spend on doing it yourself through Facebook, but it's automatic. You don't have to manage it, and it happens. You get one bill a month. So one of the challenges that marketers have on some of these social media channels is if you boost 50 posts, you get 50 different charges from Facebook on your credit card. Right. Then you have to figure out which ones those are associated with. And our platform is set up for not only for an individual brand, but for agencies as well. So they can manage multiple brands within the application. And then they can tell where the money's being spent, and they get one bill for, you know, say they said they want to spend $10,000 on boosting, and then they want to spread that out across five clients. They can do that, but they'd get one bill for $10,000 and spread it out accordingly and see inside the application how it was spent. So it makes it much easier for the accounting teams.
So you're actually buying the boost from the platform and then charging the client.
Correct. Yes.
Uh-huh. So how did you get into this business?
Well, we've always been in the data business. I've started three different internet companies. This is the third one. So the first one was way back when, all focused around consumer data and data around consumers that were shopping in specific shopping malls. So we created a loyalty program for mall developers that they would install in their malls that would track consumer behavior. Because back then there was, nobody was sharing data back and forth between the retailers. So we could tell Victoria's Secret if somebody was also shopping at Nordstrom, and we could tell the guys at Nordstrom if somebody was also shopping at Foot Locker. And so we were aggregating a lot of this information. And so that was the start of our entry into the consumer data business. And then that just has progressed over the years until we started this. I started one other company. That first one went public in 1998. And then I started another company in 2003 that we ended up selling to a public company in 2007. And then out of that, we started this company in 2010. And we've been aggregating data here ever since.
Well, you're talking about using blockchain technology. Won't that begin to affect your business model as people begin to adopt that privacy that blockchain is going to give them?
No, it's actually amazing for the data business because the beauty of the blockchain is you're disintermediating people that are making money in the middle, right? So you're losing the aggregators of that. Of the data that is selling it back into the marketplace.
Correct.
You're disintermediating Google selling that data. You're disintermediating Facebook selling that data. and you're putting the data back in the hands of the consumer and rewarding the consumer for their behavior. So you as a consumer, if you go to BigToken and you download the application from the App Store and you fill out all the information, you start to earn credit for all of the different activities that you're taking. And that's the same thing that Google does to you every day, the same thing that Facebook does to you every day, but you as a consumer don't realize that you can get compensated for that. And we're creating the platform that will allow consumers to get compensated for that.
So you'll be losing blockchain right now.
So the blockchain is in built into the, it's, you know, BIG stands for blockchain identification graph. So the tool is to allow the transactions to be settled on the blockchain. So you can see who bought your data, who transacted on your data. And, you know, you as a consumer then have the ability to say, no, I don't really like this particular company marketing to me. I'd like to avoid being marketed from that particular person in the future. So we give you the tools to be able to accomplish that. And then you get compensated.
All right.
Yeah, instead of Oracle getting paid, instead of Facebook getting paid, or instead of Google getting paid, you as a consumer get paid, which is a massive business.
Absolutely. So how does somebody get started with that?
They go to BigToken and download the application out of the App Store or into the or in the Play Store. And you'll see once you get in there, you fill out the application. You would, you know, put in your name and all of your data, and then we start to reward you as you go along, and you'll start to see as you interact with the application, there's a bunch of gamification around data. So we ask you to join groups and check in at locations and connect your social channels, connect your, connect different other loyalty programs into the application. So we can see what you're doing on airlines, what you're doing in rental cars, what you're, you know, ultimately what your banking information is, you know, similar to the way that you connected QuickBooks for the first time and you pulled in your banking data, that will happen on this application too. So you will then have a full view as to who this consumer is. And it's not just good for the consumers, but it's good for the marketers, because the marketers are buying bad data today. They're not buying good data. They're buying information that's incorrect. So they want better data, and they want to know that the data that they're marketing to is, you know, something that they have the right to do. And so this is saying to the marketer, yes, this is a group of people that have said, yes, you can market to me, just compensate me accordingly.
With all of this information that's coming into BigToken, how do you reassure the customer, the client, that your data is secure from hacking?
Well, it's the business that we're in. We've been in this business for a really long time. We just sold our pharmaceutical business, that where we had a lot of information about different doctors that were out there. And so we sold that for $52 million to another company that was very interested in that data. In order to create that value of that data, you need to make sure that that data is secure and that other people can't get to it. Because if people are accessing that data, then you have the ability to diminish the value of that data. So we're very cautious about that. We have a lot of encryption that happens around our data, so that even if somebody did have the opportunity to get into the data, they would have a hard time actually deciphering the information and getting their hands on it so that they could actually use it.
But help me to understand, I'm a little confused. Here is a chunk of data on doctors that you sold. Mm-hmm. But the data was the doctor's data, right?
No, the data that the business that we sold, it wasn't just data, but it was a whole business around marketing to doctors, which included a database of all of these different doctors. And okay. we had mapped the doctors down to their cell phones and their browsers and to all the different information about them. And then we'd compare that with prescription writing that they were doing, which was data that we received from other people. And then we use that to market back out to the doctor. So if you are a doctor and you wrote a script for a particular cholesterol drug, we then could make sure that we were then marketing out to you for other cholesterol drugs, or to write more prescriptions around that particular cholesterol drug.
Well, with the advent of the blockchain, isn't that kind of accumulation of data going to be slowed down?
No, it's just disintermediated, so that the people that are centralizing that data, if things are put out onto the blockchain, are available for other people to interact with and see and buy and things of the sort. So it's a tool that will allow for the disintermediation of many businesses. You can have an Airbnb that can be the consumer direct to the householder, or Spotify that can be the musicians direct to the consumer, or in a data business, you can have data segments that are sold direct to marketers without a middleman in the middle.
All right. Okay. Help me to understand what the direction is that the company is going. What's the future?
It's all about the aggregation of data and building unique data sets that marketers want to access. And then taking those data sets, verticalizing them, right? So in the shopper space, in the automotive space, and then giving consumers the ability to own their own data. So we think that the ownership, the consumer ownership of data is more than $1 billion business. And we think that if what we're doing is being done in the correct way, that we will benefit from being involved in that process, and that we will help consumers take back their right to their data and make a lot of people a lot of money in the process.
Well, do you agree with George Gilder that this is, that we're seeing the other side of Google, that this is beyond Google?
Certainly 3 years ago, people weren't asking these types of questions about where's my data, who owns my data, can I get compensated for my data? These were things that people didn't even discuss, but now it's front and center and people are very involved in it. And companies like us are going out there and preaching to the people that they should own their information, should own their data. And it's such a big market that, there's a lot of people that will be out there doing that and creating mechanisms by which consumers can be compensated. So we think that there's a roadmap to, a big roadmap for people to jump on board on this and start to get compensated for their information. Once they do that, they'll realize the abundance and the amount of money that Google and Facebook have been making off of them over the years.
Well, that has been Google's and Facebook's revenue, right?
Yeah, search and everything that goes around it.
Yes. Well, all right. So who else is doing this? Where's the community that is pursuing this?
There's a lot of cryptocurrency companies that popped up in the last ICO kind of craziness run this last year, where they, a couple of kids in a garage said, oh, we should do an ICO around this kind of thing. And they ended up raising a bunch of money in an ICO and are kind of trying to make that happen. And a lot of them have come to us and said, hey, can you help us sell this data? Because we have all the infrastructure in place to sell data. That's our business. So, they need a way to sell the data. We have the sales channel, the sales teams, the technology, the infrastructure to help make that process happen. And we're happy to do that for, other partners that want to get involved in the process. But, there's not a lot of companies that are in the same position that we are, like a, publicly traded company that's been in this business for a long time, that has a history of generating substantial revenues around this. So we think we have a good head start around a lot of companies. So it's not a startup. We're not trying to invent something. We've had revenue, been net income positive. So it's, we think we have a good head start on people.
Well, let me ask you a question. If we were having this discussion, 3 years from today, and you were looking back over your shoulder, what has to have happened in your life for you to be happy with the progress?
On the product itself, so that's kind of a loaded question, happened in my life. But in the business, for BigToken and for the ownership of data piece to be successful, we would at that point have hundreds of millions of users on the platform globally that are monetizing their data. And that's what we envision happening over the next 3 years. We think that we can get to that point where we have a lot of people monetizing their data through the platform, both in the United States and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, once we get to a critical mass, and you know, we understand where that critical mass is because we've been there before with other data sets, and we think we can get there quickly, you know, the marketers will drive the adoption. Marketers will be the ones, you know, wanting to adopt better data standards and better data infrastructure.
Well, now, interesting question that you caused me to think about. If I'm an individual company, marketing, and I have an agency, are they going to come to you and reap the benefit of your platform, or am I as a company going to benefit from that?
Buyers come in both forms. So agencies are big buyers of the data. And as you know, a lot of agencies are the gatekeeper of big dollars. So you have to talk to the big agencies. But a lot of times you get progressive CMOs that are, and also the mid-market companies that are in that $50, $100, $200 million range that don't have big agencies that are working with them that are, you know, willing to leverage that data. So both are really our customer, and even down to, you know, a small business level.
Well, or what sorts of, dangers is one word, but the problems, worries, what kind of issues out there do you have to eliminate to achieve your goal? What kinds of things could stop this from happening?
Consumer adoption on the big token side is the biggest one, because you need consumers to adopt. Our other businesses have a long history of succeeding already. So I'm not as concerned about adoption and things like that there, because we already make money in those businesses. So it's a matter of just scaling and keeping organized on the sales team and the sales growth and having them execute. But on big token, it's really consumer adoption.
Well, now your use of the blockchain is not tied to the currency, is it, to Bitcoin or Ethereum or anything like that?
No, it's driven by consumer data. So the value is driven by the consumer data itself.
Okay, so what opportunities do you see out there that you want to capture?
Well, this is the biggest one that we have, is the, you know, to go after consumers, educate them about the fact that their data is worth a lot of money, and start getting them to sign up for the platform itself and getting them to opt in. You know, within the platform, we have a thing called Stream, which is a mechanism that will allow for consumers to make a lot of money by driving other people into the platform as well. So not only can you make money from your own data, but you can make money from other people's data. So let's say that you had a podcast with 100,000 members, and you can get those 100,000 members to sign up for a big token with your code. You can get credit for each person that joins the application. And then, you know, not only do you get a one-time credit, but you get credit forever for everybody that you ever drove into the system, and 15 levels deep of all the people that they invite into the platform. So it's driven by consumers educating other consumers about the value of their data, because it's word of mouth that will educate people about the fact that your data is worth a lot of money.
So this is a blockchain multi-level marketing program.
Yeah, we like to call it a referral system. It's not really multi-level marketing. You have to buy something. You don't have to buy anything here. All you have to say is, yes, this is a good idea, good, and I want to opt into it. And you know, consumers are the ones that are going to drive the revolution of data.
Yeah, and it sounds like we're right on the cusp of that whole shift in awareness about who owns my data.
Yeah, I mean, did anybody know that your data could be hacked at Facebook 2 years ago? No, nobody thought about it, you know? So it's front of mind. And we were working on this well before any of that happened. It just happened to be, you know, happen chance that happened while we were working on it. So it's been good timing for us.
Well, I mean, yes, there's the negative side of my data not being secure. At the same time, what I'm hearing is there's the positive side of my data having value that I can realize, rather than
exactly
simply trading that for free access to Facebook or search with Google.
Correct. People just don't realize the breadth of that and how much that could be worth for them. So I think that as consumers start to realize the value of that data, they'll become much more involved in and conscious about what's happening with their information.
Share with me a little bit, what creates value for a consumer using BigToken? Is there something they can do to create more value?
Yeah, you can answer more questions about yourself. We track the locations where you are. And people say a lot of times, wow, that's creepy. But you know what? Every app that your kid has installed on your phone is tracking the location where you are. Google's tracking the location where you are. Facebook's tracking all your locations. And they're selling that data to lots of different people, and you're not getting compensated for it. So you might as well say, look, here's where I am. I'm willing to get compensated for that data. So location data is very important. What you're interacting with is very important. You know, where are you going on the web? Those things are very important. Questions that marketers could not even ask you that we can ask inside the application. How much money do you make? You know, where do you live? Do you own your home? Do you rent your home? Do you have a car lease? You know, are you interested in skiing and running? Are you, you know, what political views do you have? These are all things that we can ask inside the application that you'll happily tell us, because you want to be compensated for that information. And other marketers would have to struggle to get that information. And when the aggregators of that data are selling that data back to marketers, a lot of times it's incorrect. So now you have a place where marketers can come and buy accurate data.
There must be some way of talking about when you're talking with a consumer about what possibilities there are for compensation. I mean, are we talking nickels, dimes, dollars, hundreds of dollars?
No, it's in the dollars, the hundreds of dollars. Really, it all depends on where you live. You know, somebody that lives in the Upper East Side and travels down to a certain area of Wall Street every day, it's worth more money than somebody that lives in a rural neighborhood that where marketers aren't trying to spend as much dollars. So it really is a lot of it is top 10 market driven, where the people are spending money. But a lot of it is psychographic and interest data as well. Are you looking for particular types of products? Are you surfing on the internet for certain products? These things are important as well. So that's much lower in the funnel. If we could get down to, you know, where were you last and what products were you looking at last?
So I can appreciate the individual consumer, that marketplace. What about business and B2B?
So businesses would be able to ask questions of their buyers, right? So I'm a company that makes a particular product, and I know that I have these 1,000 customers, but now I want to know more information about these 1,000 around these 1,000 customers. So I want to find out more information about them. I can then ask more questions to those 1,000 people once I import them into the platform. So I can say, hey, we did a partnership with BigToken, and you can now be compensated for your data. You know, please come into the platform. And hey, by the way, can you tell us a little bit more about your purchasing habits? Like, when you're making a decision to buy these products for your business, how are you making those decisions? So we can the partners that are bringing data onto the platform are able then to ask additional questions to the people that they're bringing onto the platform. You could say, you know, I know you watch my podcast, but you know, do you watch any other podcasts? Are you interested in, you know, these news channels? Do you watch these news channels? How are your political views? You know, when you're marketed to, are you buying these type of products or these type of products? So you get a little bit more of a sense of your audience than just what Google Analytics might be telling you about those people or what Facebook might be telling you about those people. You can actually say, well, this is data that the consumer is telling me that, or that your viewer is telling you that they're interested in, and you can utilize that data to help them market out in the future. You can say, okay, I did the survey through here, and I could find that my viewers actually have these profiles that they validated for me, so I could be more pinpoint in trying to reach other people that might watch my podcast in the future.
All right. So let me scenario. I mean, I work with businesses. They're generally 10 to 250 employees. And what we teach them to do when it comes down to talking about their marketing strategy is we ask them to pick out their ideal clients. Now, that would be if they were coming to you, you would ask them the same thing, right? Pick out your ideal client. And then what we ask them to do is to get really clear on what's the demographic about that client. What's the geographic? Where do you want them to be? And then finally, what's the psychographic? Now, what we say to them is theoretically, once you get really clear about those three criteria, then you can take the world and run them through that filter, and what will come out is your target market. Now, is that
right? But the question I would ask to the in that process is, where are you getting that data, right? So as a marketer or one of those businesses that is involved in the process, you need to say, okay, these are my customers. These are my 1,000 or my 100 or my 50 customers that I want to go after, right? Now, how are you determining the psychographic data around those 100 customers? Where's that coming from?
Well, I'm asking if you can help with that. Is that
exactly what you can do. And you can do that directly with those customers and ask them to opt in to share that data to be compensated for it. Now, so that now, you know, when you're marketing to them, you're not doing something illegal. You're not doing something where you're not sure whether or not these people can receive your information because they want to be compensated for that process. They want to be involved in getting compensated for the information that they've been willing to share with you. And they'll tell you more about themselves because they are getting compensated.
And the compensation would be coming from you.
Correct. The compensation is coming from us and in partnership with lots of different companies that come onto the platform.
Talk a little bit about my feeling and help me. It could be just head trash. But my sense is that if I were to ask my clients that, they would want to know what's happening to this data. How am I'm giving this data and what's going to happen with it? How would we talk?
Well, you would say, look, you're join this platform to put your information into the platform so that you then can be compensated for your data. Your audience
data away,
is
right?
Potentially today not being compensated for their information.
What I'm hearing is that they're already giving this data away.
Correct. They can't fight that process. That data is given away. Every time you use a credit card at Target, that data is sold. Every time you book a flight, that data is sold. Every time you rent a car, that data is sold. Stay at a hotel, it's sold. You know, any activity you take except for cash is tracked in some form or fashion, and that data is then sold out in marketplaces to other marketers. I mean, we can tell you people that have bought particular products at particular retailers, and we can then target them down to their phones. So that kind of data is available in the marketplace to buy today, and people are selling it and making a lot of money off of it. Consumers just don't understand how robust this business is, how much data is being sold out in the marketplace. I mean, if you wanted to find people that are interested in, you know, traveling to Alaska, you know, I mean, that's easy to do. But if you wanted to find people that were buying a particular type of product, you can accomplish that goal.
So when they join the platform, does that mean that their data is no longer being given away for free anyplace?
No. We help that. We educate them about what they can do to minimize their footprint. But it means that their data is validated and approved to be sold from us, and that compensation that's coming in is being shared with them inside the platform. So you want to minimize your exposure, because if you minimize your exposure in the marketplace, your data is worth more. Now, the more people that join, the more value that the data has, because one person isn't as valuable. One fly fishing person isn't as valuable as 10,000 fly fishing people. You know, that is the marketers want to reach a mass scale of people. So the more people that join, the more value everybody has.
Amazing. Just amazing. All right. So what would you like to be saying to consumers in Orange County?
Well, to consumers, I would, you know, tell them what I've been telling you for the last little bit, that they should be monetizing their data and that they should join the big token platform to help that process. Mm-hmm. To business owners that are listening to your platform, I'd share with them that there's a lot of things that Shrax does as a company that can help you look at your customer data and help you monetize it.
Okay. So where should they go if they wanted to talk with you? What should they do?
They can go to Shrax.com. So it's SRAX.com, and they can find out all about our services there. They can, you know, email us at, you know, you can email me directly, Chris@Shrax.com, and I can hook you up with the right people that would help if you have questions. You can look at the Big Token app. So download Big Token out in the iOS or in the Android store and sign up there and join the platform. And start to monetize your data and spread the word to all of your friends that you can monetize your data.
It's amazing. Amazing, Chris. I mean, this is really cutting edge stuff right out there, right?
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that. It's fun. We're having a good time.
And you are in, you're in Orange County, right?
Well, we're in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
So we're in Los Angeles County, actually. But we drive through Orange County a lot. We have an office in Mexico, so on the way down to Mexico, we drive down there a lot.
Good. What should we be looking for from you as we move forward? How will we be able to celebrate you?
People can watch our stock. We're a publicly traded company on NASDAQ. So you can watch the symbol SRAX and share along with the successes as people start to adopt into Big Token. That obviously will drive value into the stock itself. And as we continue to build more verticals of data sets, we'll start to see more success there. So that's really one way to stay in touch with us and keep track of what we're doing, and also to, you know, to join Big Token and follow along and spread the word of your data.
Thanks a lot for being with us, Chris. This has really been really interesting and helpful, and we look forward to great success from you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Live long and prosper.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.